Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte clear liners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you could pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
Do you think that we're going to see the same price action we saw back in January when the U.S. ETFs were approved?
Even though, sure, in Hong Kong, it's a much shorter time. But for the managers to spend so much time and money on a new product, they see an upside. They see demand for the product. And ETFs are very expensive to set up. So unless the managers at least you know, took a semi-optimistic view as a basic minimum criteria, they wouldn't be doing the products. So I would bet with the managers.
It's Tuesday, April 16th, 2024, and this is Markets Daily, a show where we get into the minds of some of the smartest, most experienced investors, traders, analysts, economists, professors, and anyone who has a hot or smart take about what's going on in the crypto markets. I'm Jen Sinassi. Before we get into our discussion today, let's take a look at what's going on in those markets. It is completely red across the board. Both Bitcoin and Ether are down more than 5% this morning. Now, I was reading some reporting this morning, and analyst Marcus Thielen, who has been on the show before, and he's been pretty accurate with his predictions, predicting the downturn in November 2022 and the recent all-time highs. He recently said that he is taking a bearish look ahead of the halving because of persistent inflation. I tend to follow what Marcus Thielen says very carefully, so we'll continue keeping you updated on what he's saying. Despite this, though, some are looking towards the upcoming Bitcoin halving to be a very bullish catalyst for the cryptocurrency. So we'll just have to wait and see what happens. The halving is days away. More bullish catalysts are coming from Hong Kong. We're going to take a look at what's going on in the region in just a second, but let's take a look at those prices now. According to CoinDesk indices, at 8:30 a.m. Eastern time, Bitcoin was down almost 5% at $63,122, while Ether was down again almost 5% at $3,079, and the CoinDesk 20 index was at 2,160 points down over 5%. All right, let's get to that discussion now. For more on markets action, let's bring in OSL Executive Director and Head of Regulatory Affairs, Gary Tew. Gary, welcome to Markets Daily.
Thanks, Jen. Good to be on the show.
Great to have you here. Now, I need you to clear something up for me. Have the spot Bitcoin and Ether ETFs been approved in Hong Kong? I know yesterday there was some back and forth with issuers saying they were approved and then deleting those messages, very similar to what we saw in the United States in January. Have they been approved?
Okay, so what they have in Hong Kong right now is what is commonly referred to as approval in principle. So that means most of the big hurdles, the substantive vetting of the products, should be basically completed. But they may still have a few conditions they have to satisfy before they can officially go live. And when we talk about go live, we mean actually starting the public offering of the products. So our understanding is that three issuers have received approval in principle for their products. So that's the technical answer to your question.
Okay, great. So three issuers have received approval in principle. How long until we know if those extra conditions have been met and these products can be available to traders?
That's probably a bit hard to say, but I would say given that approval in principle typically happens when really the biggest hurdles ever have already been overcome, I would say what remains are probably more sort of technical conditions and probably operational readiness. And that point is actually quite a significant one. The operational requirements for supporting a spot, for example, BTC or ETH product, these operational requirements are actually quite intense. OSL is currently working with two of the issuers, so two of the three. So we know from firsthand experience about some of the actual operational requirements, and there is a lot. But I would imagine we are not far away. And it's very hard to say what exactly not far away is, but maybe it might be worthwhile to actually look at some numbers. The blueprint for doing spot Bitcoin or spot crypto ETFs in Hong Kong was first released only 4 months ago in Hong Kong. And it was just before Christmas. It was actually sort of a few days before Christmas. So it was sort of like a early Christmas present for the market. And then barely 2 months after that, well, actually sort of about 2 months ago, the banking regulator issued a public document telling banks in Hong Kong that they can potentially custody the crypto products for some of these products that are going to be launched. So we're talking about a very, very condensed timetable from sort of having zero 4 months ago to now products.
Yeah. Especially when you look at what's happened in the United States, it took 10 years to get an approval for this exact same product. And you're saying over in Hong Kong, it's only been a 4 month journey.
Absolutely. It really has been mind-boggling. It really is sort of unprecedented speed to market that we're seeing for these products. And it was it was yesterday that approval in principle happened for three of these products. And just to give you an idea of what operational readiness actually means, we are talking about also unprecedented infrastructure that have actually been built over this very, very short space of time. I mean, for one of these retail products to actually hit the market, typically you need someone like a major institution, typically a member of a banking institution, operating as a master custodian for these funds. And then because we're talking about spot crypto, we also need licensed sub-custodians to hold the crypto assets as well. In addition, and this is in addition to the three asset managers that have to be approved also by the Hong Kong regulator to manage crypto products for the first time. And all three of these managers we know are doing crypto products for the first time in their history. And as well as licensed brokers who have to support the creation and the redemption processes for these funds. So the Hong Kong product also has a special feature, which is what is commonly referred to as in-kind subscription and in-kind redemption. So for a Bitcoin product, this means potentially some of the investors can actually give Bitcoin to the fund as their subscription proceeds in return for shares or units in the fund. And they can redeem the same way. And that is actually quite a groundbreaking feature that we know in the US products, that feature is not supportable.
So if I have some Bitcoin, I could give it to the fund and now I have the ETF and then vice versa if I want to switch back.
Certainly, I think the funds have built in that feature to allow that possibility to occur. Obviously, as an ETF, I think for the majority of the investors who are going to get exposure to the fund, it's going to be via the Hong Kong. It's going to be via trading on the Hong Kong Exchange. Mm-hmm. And these products going live also imply that they have lined up sufficient market makers to actually support the liquidity for the products when they launch as well. So it is actually quite a massive undertaking to get these products from zero to live in 4 months.
On that point, I'm curious, I was reading a report this morning that said the approval of the spot Bitcoin ETFs in the United States are actually encouraging more people to just purchase spot Bitcoin, not actually shares of the ETFs. Do you think we'll see the same trend in Hong Kong?
I guess if you look at, for example, in the retail market, I think in the current state of play, there is probably still a very substantial part of the population, and this is not just Hong Kong; it's sort of around the globe as well. Still, a substantial part of the populations who are probably more experienced in trading shares and having securities accounts that allow them to trade shares and funds and other products. So there is an inherent advantage when you do something like an ETF, that it does bring the product into sort of an easier point of access for people who haven't really touched crypto, haven't set up their crypto trading accounts with anyone. It means that instead of asking them to go and open a trading account with a crypto platform, the crypto products are now being brought to them. So I think there is a certain advantage in doing it in the ETF format. And I think the managers are quite aware of this. If you spend months, or in the case of the US, if you spend years building the infrastructure, you're not just doing one product. You're doing a pipeline of products. And I think the managers are definitely looking at that pipeline.
I want to back up a little bit. OSL is a sub-custodian for some of the issuers who have received an in-principle approval in Hong Kong. That's a little bit different than how things are over here in the United States. We have custodians that are working with the issuers over here. Talk to me a little bit about your role as a sub-custodian. Is it similar to the Coinbase role with a lot of the issuers over here in the U.S.?
So in the US, the cash custodians and the crypto custodians work independently from each other. In Hong Kong, the structure that we're seeing is the sub-custodian that holds the crypto is working under the master custodian. From a liability perspective, it's actually quite a groundbreaking leap, if you like, certainly for the banking institutions acting as master custodians, because... as we know, certainly I think for US regulated institutions, a lot of them do see that the SEC's attitude to financial institutions holding crypto risk is probably more cautious and conservative. And that translates into more onerous compliance requirements for US institutions to run a similar structure as what we're seeing in Hong Kong. So the fact that in Hong Kong we have at least one banking institution putting their hand up to support the product, that is actually quite significant.
I got to ask you, when these applications were submitted 4 months ago, were they only for spot Bitcoin? Because I don't remember hearing anything about a spot Ether ETF. And then all of a sudden, a spot Ether ETF kind of popped up out of nowhere. It looks like Hong Kong is going to have that product in the coming days, or as soon as these final approvals come through. Was that a surprise to you, or did you know that this was going to happen throughout the 4 months?
No, we saw it coming.
You did? Okay.
I think that highlights a very good point, which is this product being Bitcoin linked or Ether linked is inherently a very, very global competition. It's, you know, we're whether you're doing the product in the States or Hong Kong, you're entering a global competition. It's a global race. And the fact that in the US there are now 11 products with the same underlying, all of them are passive strategies with very, very transparent costs. It means for the Hong Kong issuers doing the same product, everyone knows there will be huge pressure on cost. There'll be huge pressure on pricing. And so the managers doing the Bitcoin ETFs definitely from the word go would be looking at how do they gain an edge over the rest of the global market who are already squeezing into that space. And one of the obvious answers is, well, if the ETH product hasn't launched in the US, then you shift your focus to that part of the race as well, to make sure that the Hong Kong managers and the Hong Kong market will at least have some edge in this race. So I think that one is a hugely positive development.
So the Ether ETF is, would you say, a competitive advantage?
I think so. Certainly for the managers, spending the considerable time and money to actually launch a new product with new infrastructure. If you're only doing one product, which is already in a bit of a tight squeeze around the world, you know the margins are going to be squeezed. So definitely being able to hit the market with a first would certainly help the managers get a bit more of an edge and also give them a bit more of a chance to recoup on their investments.
Now, when we talk about the spot Ether ETF here in the United States, and I apologize for continuously bringing the comparison up, but that's where I'm sitting. So I'm trying to make sense of it for myself and the rest of the audience here. The topic of Ether as a commodity comes up, commodity versus security. If this spot Ether ETF is approved in Hong Kong, which it sounds like it will be once these technical details are worked out, is that the Hong Kong regulator saying that in their eyes, Ether is a commodity?
Well, the Hong Kong laws are also a little bit different on this front. To be honest, if you're doing a spot crypto ETF in Hong Kong, if the underlying is a security, that in itself is not a deal killer. Now, what will be important is actually how the fund actually gets the exposure to the underlying asset. And as it happens, the licensed platforms in Hong Kong that are right now live and supporting crypto trading are actually regulated by the securities regulator in Hong Kong. So in theory, and this is a very theoretical position, right? So in theory, if Ether was classified as a security in Hong Kong, actually from a legal standpoint, the trading platforms can support them without breaching any regulations in Hong Kong. This is not the case in the US. The biggest crypto trading platforms that are regulated in any shape or form in the US at the moment are not regulated under the US securities laws, which means that if an asset all of a sudden became classified as a security, then it would actually be illegal for them to continue to allow the product to trade. So, but to be honest, I think that's not really a new question either in the US. I mean, that's been sort of debated on and off for the better part of the last few years. So putting aside what the US outcome is, I think the market has spoken. There is definitely a lot of interest in an Ether product, and the managers are well aware of that.
Okay, and the folks listening to this show are very interested in price action. There was a report from Matrixport recently that said they expect $25 billion of demand to be unlocked once these ETFs are approved in Hong Kong. Do you think that we're going to see the same price action we saw back in January when the US ETFs were approved?
That's a bit hard to say, but I would say maybe let's look at why the managers would spend. I mean, even though sure in Hong Kong it's a much shorter time, but for the managers to spend so much time and money on a new product, I would bet on the managers. If the managers are investing in this space, investing in doing a new product, they see an upside. They see demand for the product. And ETFs are very expensive to set up. So unless the managers at least, you know, took a semi, optimistic view, as a basic minimum criteria, they wouldn't be doing the products. So I would bet with the managers.
I mean, that makes good sense to me. And Gary, just before we wrap up, I started doing this yesterday and it's kind of fun. I know we talked about ETFs the whole time, but is there anything else in the crypto markets that you're watching that you are personally passionate about that, I don't know, you want to highlight?
Okay. I mean, if we look at the names that are popping up for the ETF product or for the spot crypto ETF product in Hong Kong, We do see some common themes. I mean, we are seeing a lot of managers with strong attachments to mainland China and to the Chinese market. To me, these products are making their way in such an unprecedented way at such speed in Hong Kong. It actually does have some pretty important messages for what these things mean for the Hong Kong crypto market. This is not just about expanding the Hong Kong regulated crypto landscape, even though this does help. But I think what it does mean is it really does show that Hong Kong as a does have a pretty unique place within sort of within the map of China. The, you know, this tiny little city where we are, we're seeing that it's not just an extension of the mainland capital markets, you know, and not just as a place for mainland companies to raise cash. It really is proving itself to be quite a, you know, truly special financial center, where we're seeing some pretty unique financial regulations, unique crypto-related infrastructure, unique products and unique innovations can really occur here, and with full regulatory support of both of the financial regulators. That, to me, is a message that the market should not take lightly. This is actually really big stuff. So I would leave, leave that with our audience.
Gary, thanks so much for joining the show this morning.
Thank you.